to the Crosspoint Podcast, a listener support ministry of Crosspoint Alliance Church. Hi, I'm Pastor C, and it is a joy that you're joining us today. God has a special message for you. We want to encourage you to take some notes, but most of all, to open your heart. God wants to speak to you.
On October 21st, 2007, I'm sure some of you remember what happened. In Southern California, 38,000 acre was captivated by a wildfire. I don't know how you'd know how big 38,000 acre is, but it's big. It's bigger than your apartment. This incident is known as the Buckwheat Fire. It destroyed 63 structures and 21 of them are homes. That's a lot of structures. I don't know if, you know, you're like, oh, 63, that's it. That's like millions of dollars just kind of destroyed, all right? While the fire, they had to evacuate about 15,000 people. That's a lot of people. You just kind of put that number into perspective, see what's going on here. While the fire was burning throughout the area, the sheriff's department, the fire department, went and investigated to see where, you know, the fire was caused by, where, who was the culprit. And they found the suspect. It wasn't an arsonist that started this fire. It wasn't some, you know, cruel joke that happened to, you know, start the fire or anything like that. But they found this 10-year-old boy who happened to be playing with matches on a dry day and struck a match and started that 38,000 acres of fire that destroyed homes and families and wildlife. I mean, you're talking monetary terms, millions of dollars destroyed just because of one strike of a match. I think I could stop there and stop preaching, but I'm going to keep going. So far, James has been kind of preaching to us a little bit, right? He's been saying to us, hey guys, listen, this is what we need to do to get from here to maturity. That's what he's been kind of giving us, kind of that, you know, that foreground, that background, saying, okay, this is what we need to do, as in, we need to endure in the time of hardships for maturity, right? How we need to listen, not just listen, but also do, right? But James also says we should not play favoritism, or that, and the faith without work is dead. He's been kind of preaching to us this whole time. But then, you know, as we get into chapter 3, James gives us a right hook out of nowhere. It's awesome because it's in your face. James is coming at you now. He's no longer preaching and saying, hey, this is what we need to do. But he's now like, you better do this, right? So it's awesome. I love the way James does this. He gets into your personal bubble. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been to a movie theater and it's empty, and you're going, wow, it's empty. It's awesome. And you just sit down, and you're like, you're ready to go, and you're like, oh, I cannot wait for this movie to start. And then another person walks in, and out of all the seats in the movie theater, what do? They sit next to you, and it's like, really? This is my bubble. Why are you sitting next to me, right? Or when you're in the bathroom, okay? When you're in the bathroom, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're sitting there in your stall or, you know, whatever you're doing in the bathroom. You go in, and nobody's in there, and then another person walks in. What happens? They go right next to you, and you're like, really? Like, look at all the 10 stalls that you have available. Why couldn't you choose the one, like, that's farthest away from, you know, where I'm going? Oh, gosh, it is the worst. Well, that guy or that girl, that's James right now. That's James. He's coming into your personal bubble and just kind of poking and popping it and saying, hey, okay, you want to get into maturity? I'm done preaching. Let me get into your face of what we need to do. That's the beginning of chapter 3. And let me remind you that James is not talking to the non-believers. He's not. He's talking to the Jewish population who understand, right, who has the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he's saying, all right, you had the knowledge. Now let's do something about it. Let's do something about it. And let me break this news to you early. James is talking to you directly because you and I have a problem with this issue that James is talking about. All of us do. Not one of us don't have this problem. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Just a reminder that teachers were an important role back in the day. They were regarded as one of the highest title that you could have in the church, right? Because teachers not only teach, but they do what? They influence the people. They influence people with the words that they speak, with the things that they have studied. And because of that, people in the church were becoming teachers for the wrong reason. They were. They wanted to influence the people with the ideas that they had instead of what the Bible had. See, so James is saying, okay, teachers are strict, judged more strictly because they have this responsibility. You know, I think Spider-Man's uncle got it right when he said, what? Anybody know? With great power comes with great responsibility. I was trying to find that clip and I couldn't because they were all like copyright infringed and whatnot. So I don't have the video clip to show it to you. So those who teach, it says right here, will be subject to stricter judgment because the teachers are teaching the very word of God. I think James said this because, you know, I think they were kind of taking this teaching lightly. You know, in a way that's like, it's the word of God. Let me say my piece and be done with it. I say that's the same for today. And everything that the Bible says is so relevant. I think some teachers nowadays, I'm not saying, you know, school teachers, okay, this is for the teachers who teach the Bible, are only really just kind of scratching the surface of what the Bible is saying and teaching what people want to hear. And I think James will give us a warning and saying, hey, guys, listen. This is a warning for all of you who teach. Because this is the very breath of God that is given to us, the very word of God. And we're only scratching the surface of it. There's something wrong with it. We're only seeing the tip of the iceberg when there's so much more meat at the bottom of the iceberg, what God is trying to tell us. You know, some teach to produce a mass following, don't they? Some teach to produce popularity, the Christian celebrities, right? The teachings of the Word of God cannot be a surface level teaching. If you look in Luke 12, Jesus says about, you know, we have to be ready for the second coming. He speaks about, you know, how servants need to be ready before the master comes. But in the end of the illustration, Jesus says this: when someone has been given much, much will be required in return. This is Jesus talking. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. Let me take this step a little further. For those of you who are sitting here going, I'm not a teacher, I don't teach the Bible. Yeah, that's awesome. I don't fall into this category. Wrong. Okay, dead wrong. Here's why. You have the responsibility of understanding the knowledge of the grace of God and have that grace of God. Now, God has laid that responsibility on you saying, hey, here's what I've given you. Go share it. When you have that responsibility, we cannot take this Bible lightly, or the gospel, or the salvation lightly. If you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have the responsibility to let other people know about who Jesus is. You have received the grace of God. You have received salvation. So are you going to keep that for yourself? Or are you going to take that responsibility and say, okay, here's what God has given me. Here's what God has given me to do. What am I going to do about it? So my question is, what are you doing about it in your lifestyle? Not at church, because we could talk about Jesus all day long at church, can't we? We could talk about Jesus all day long at Life Groups, can't we? But when have you talked about Jesus all day long at your work? Yes, Some of you guys are saying, but my work in the work handbooks, you know, it won't allow me to talk about Jesus. Well, this is actually what we say. What James is saying, what we say and what we do is how we live our lives for Jesus and being that witness. And I don't know if you can hear in verse 2, but let me read it again. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. I hear James saying in a very sarcastic way, like, duh, right? Like, we all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. This is James including himself in this conversation. He's saying that, listen, guys, it's not that you make mistakes. It's that we all make mistakes. Last Saturday, I had the opportunity to run a 5K obstacle course, Muddy Run. It's fun, right? It's like a 5K where you get all muddy, and Tamika's like, nah, I'm good. Right? And it was a lot of fun. I went with Rachel and a friend of ours, Jessica, which that's her baby right there. And it was a great experience. I would do it again. It was 3.2 miles, 25 plus obstacles, in a very awesome day. And you had to finish the course. So you would run a little bit, you would go an obstacle. You would run a little bit, you would go another obstacle. So it was this never-ending obstacle course. And I remember this particular one because it was really hard for me. I don't know why, but first I had to go through a river of mud. I mean, I'm telling you, it was muddy, right? And I come out, I'm like, oh, this is so gross. Like, I'm covered in mud. But by this time, I'm like, whatever. And there was a little uphill that I had to go up. And I couldn't get up because it was so slippery. I mean, I was just like hanging on for dear life. Rachel already had made it up. I'm like, how? Right? So I'm like, what? I'm like, what? It's not, I can't go up. So I had to really like get on my knees and like dig into the ground and really, it was hard. It was really hard. This word mistake, that we all make mistakes. In some versions in your Bibles may say stumble. In Greek, it does not imply a fatal fall. It doesn't mean that you have broken your leg, or you know, it doesn't mean that you have chopped off your leg or chopped off your arm. It doesn't mean that. This word in here, it means it's like just like the muddy hill. It's this distraction. It's something that trips us and hinders us from our progress with the Lord. That's what that mistake means. Then James gives us a measure for spiritual maturity. He gives us a ruler. Remember that James is speaking to all those who are in need, for all Christians, that we all need to be at that maturity line. No longer drinking liquid, right? Just like Hebrew says, but eating that solid food. This word perfect isn't sinless perfect, okay, like we're all thinking about. That's not what this perfect means. But again, this word perfect means spiritual maturity. It is a gauge of how healthy your spirituality is. It's like going to the doctor's office, and I'm sure Matt will get a kick out of this, okay? Tell me if I'm wrong, okay, please. It's like going to the doctor's office. They go in, right? You go in, and what do? You sit there for 45 minutes, right? And then what happens afterwards? You sit there for 45 minutes, and what happens? They come and be like, you know, and they do all that stuff. And they check your ears first, right? Or whatever they do. And then they flash some light in your eye, right? And then they go, breathe in, breathe out. And then they go in the back, and you're like, ooh, right? And it's like, and you do it again. And then there's one thing that they do to gauge how healthy you are. It is, they stick an ice cream stick, right, in your tongue, and say what? Say, ah. Well, I thought I will have a little fun with this. Here's some ways to know how to determine your health. Okay, here we go. Strawberry red. If your tongue is strawberry red color, guess what that means? Vitamin deficiency. Lacking iron or B12. Okay? That's what that means. Brown or black fuzz. Gross, right? It means you don't have the best oral hygiene. I mean, that's... Cottage... Huh? Cottage cheese white. You have a yeast infection. Okay? Some of you who are squirmy, I'm sorry, but I had to do this. This is the best way. I was going to show pictures, but I decided not to, so be thankful, all right? All right, wrinkles. If you have wrinkles, you're getting old, all right? You're getting old. That's just small patches of white. Something is irritating your mouth. Persistent red lesions. Now, this one's dangerous, okay? You have signs of tongue cancer. Burning sensation. I love this one because I love the first description, but the second description is hilarious. Ready? You have postmenopausal or you're using the wrong toothpaste. Either one, you know, whatever, right? Hills and valleys. Absolutely nothing. It's normal. It's normal. Painful sores. You're stressed. So turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor, right? Just look at your neighbor, whoever it is. Stick out your tongue and decide. I'm just kidding. Don't do it. All right. I won't. You know, isn't it crazy? Right? I mean, something such small in your body can determine how healthy you are. That's crazy. You know, that goes same for our spirituality. Whatever your tongue is saying, whatever you're saying is measured how healthy your spirituality is. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And the small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even if the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great local fire. James gives us two analogies here that our tongue is small but mighty, right? He goes, first analogy is of the bit and the rudder. There's two analogies. The bit is, have you ever been to like a horse farm? Right? The bit is, it's like, it's really small. It's not that big compared to the horse, you know? Compared to the horse, it's a really small little thing that, you know, when you see horse racers, they tug. Well, it's the bit that's doing the, you know, they're tugging. And it gives a direction whichever the horse needs to go. Even the most untamest, even the most biggest, majestic, muscular horses, they're muscular. I mean, if you get kicked by them, good luck, right? They can move the horse wherever they want. You know, and if you've seen a rudder compared to the size of the boat, it's like 5% of the boat. Everything else is just kind of like, you know, the engines and whatnot. But it's that small rudder that makes the boat go wherever the pilot chooses to go. And James is giving this comparison not to give the reason of control, but to show us how influential our tongue is, even though how small it is compared to the rest of our bodies. Literally and figuratively speaking. You know, I think if James was alive today, I believe that he'll probably disagree with this saying. Sticks and stones, but... Ha! Right? I mean, you laugh at that saying. I think James will probably die rolling on the floor laughing, saying, what? What? Really, guys? That's a saying that, you know, we're teaching our kids nowadays? I know that all of us here have experienced some hurtful experience as when somebody says something to you. Agree? Yes? I agree. I remember one time when I was in youth group, one of my youth leaders came up to me and said this to me and said, you're too young to do that and you're immature to do that. And it took me a long time for me to really get over that because I wasn't cultivated into the man that I was becoming or into the maturity I was becoming. It took me a long time for me not to be afraid to do things because I was too young or too immature. James goes on in verse 5, 6, explain what kind of destructive power that the tiny tongue can do. Let's read it on. Let's keep going. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it sets For it is set on fire by hell itself. Can you get any more depressing than that? I mean, that's like, it's like when I read this, I was like, oh man, that's so depressing, James. Like, really? Just as I gave you that 10-year-old boy who just happened to strike a match that destroyed 38,000 acres of land, our tongue can set fires to your relationship with God and with others. You know, to put it into simple terms, we're like a spiritual arsonists, right? We're like spiritual arsonists. We can say one thing here, and guess what? Wildfire, right? We can say one thing here, and forest fire. I mean, we're like spiritual arsonists, careless, just indifferent of what we're saying. When we go back, we have to go back to James 1, 26, 27 to fully understand what James is trying to say here. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, right? James even said this way before chapter 3. Pure and genuine, your religion is worthless. You're fooling yourself. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God and the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. The one who is indifferent with the way that he speaks is the one who is defiled first. Careless tongue will destroy your entire life, and I know this firsthand. I remember when I was in college, I believe it was freshman year, and it was the second semester, and I was sitting in class, and we were just kind of discussing some things, and it was an English class, and I remember saying this remark to this one girl, and at the end of the class, she walked out crying and didn't come back to class for the next few weeks because of what I said. And I do regret it still, now to this day. And I went up to her and I asked for, a sincere apology and whatnot. But that relationship is gone. I don't know where she is now. I don't. I don't see her on Facebook. I don't see her anywhere. But it's a confession that I'm making because I said something that was, I thought it was funny. I did. But then it wasn't funny to the person who I was listening to. And that relationship was broken and that trust was broken between her and I. What we say to others and what others say to us can last for a very, very long time. Now, have I asked repentance? Yes, I have. I have. But do I regret it? Yeah, I do regret it, Because now I realize that I was being very immature and I was being sarcastic in a way that I shouldn't have been. We might not realize it, but a casual sarcastic comment can inflict a lasting hurt on the other person. One thing that Rachel knows that I say often when I'm driving is, you idiot, right? And I need to stop saying that. Not because nobody's here, not because the other person's hearing or anything like that, but for my sake, for my own heart. Because if I say that all the time, if somebody cuts me off and say, you idiot, right? It's not a pleasant heart. It's not a Jesus-given heart for me to really say that word. And on the other hand, an encouragement can produce a spark of inspiration for the rest of their life. I mean, think about it. James echoes what Proverbs says. Proverbs is full of these, about the tongue, right? Let me just kind of go through some of the Proverbs here. Proverbs 26, 18 through 19. You can write these down, just the references, just for the future. And it says, just as damaging as a madman shooting a deadly weapon is someone who lies to a friend and then says, I was only joking. Right? It's like, you're stupid. Wait, I'm just joking. Right? What? That does not make any sense, right? But that's what it's saying. Hey, you smell today. I'm just joking. Right? Right? It's crazy. Proverbs 10, 19 through 21. Too much talk leads to sin. Well, yeah, I need to work on that. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. The words of a godly are like the sterling silver, and the heart of the fool is worthless. The words of the godly encourage many, but fools are destroyed by their lack of common sense. Proverbs 12:25. Worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers a person up. This is going to sound weird, but turn to your neighbor and say something encouraging to that person. Just something encouraging. Say, hey, you look beautiful today. You smell great today. Hey, I like how, you know, Steve, I love your shirt. It's nice and bright, right? Just say something encouraging, because I know this is funny, but this is a practice that we need to get into. Because we are so good at making fun of each other, aren't we? I mean, we are so good at making fun of each other. Like, we make fun of Matt's bald head all the time. But, Matt, your head looks awesome today, man. Like, you know, like, we, you know, just, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, we need to start, Steve, you too, you know. We need to start encouraging, intentionally encouraging each other with the smallest things, because you never know what the person is going through at the current moment. You don't. You really don't. So instead of making negative comments, you know, we need to start lifting each other up, especially in a Christian circle. In the Christian realm, in the Christian kingdom, we are called to speak positive things to each other. We are brothers and sisters. Yeah, brothers and sisters fight, but at the same time, we need to keep encouraging our brothers and sisters. Proverbs 16:24, kind words are like honey. I love honey, right? I mean, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Amen to that. There's one particular honey I really love. And when my parents used to live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, they would go into a Mennonite family's home and they would get this creamy honey that's not the bear honey. And it would taste so different. You know the bear honey I'm talking about, right? At the stores, it's like, you know, and it's like, it's full of honey and whatnot. And it's just really creamy honey. And, oh, man, is it good. Well, your kind words, your words are like honey. And it needs to be like honey. When people hear you speak, it should be like, oh, wow, it's beautiful. It needs to be like that, because that's what God calls us to do as Christians. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times that we do need to rebuke. But those rebuking words are what James is saying, that it's for spiritual maturity. It's for spiritual maturity. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. I love to talk. I think this is speaking to me directly. I love to talk. But whatever I say always has a consequence, whether good or evil. And we all need to watch what we say. So how hard is it to tame the tongue? How hard is it? You know, because it's talking about the taming the tongue, controlling the tongue. We need to control it, you know? But how hard is it? James 3:7-8. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Even more depressing, James. Thank you. Right? Well, have you ever seen the movie 127 Hours? Okay, if you have never seen it, go watch it, but it's not for the faint heart. Let me explain to you the background of the story. His name is Aaron Lee Ralston. He's a canyon climber. He likes to do a lot of climbing, okay? And he's in Utah, climbing through the canyons. And what happens? Well, yeah, he gets stuck, but before that, he doesn't let anybody know where he's going. He has no cell phone, no nothing, right? I mean, it's just him and his backpack just kind of climbing. And I'm going, okay, dumb move, first of all, right? But what happens in the canyon is a boulder comes down and his arm gets stuck. And when I say boulder, I'm not talking about a tiny little rock that hit him. Ah! You know, I'm talking about a big boulder that is crushing him, his arm, in between a ledge, and he can't move. And the whole movie is set in that. And it sounds weird. It sounds weird, but he is stuck there for 127 hours. Who is good at math here? How many days is that? 5 days. Oh, look at that. Woo. Okay. All right. She's like, I didn't do my calculator. Thank you for confessing. Thank you. Yeah. But 127 hours. That's a lot of hours. And they were able to make this movie in the most creepy way because Aaron actually videotaped himself while stuck there and was kind of documenting what he was going through. And that's how they were able to remake the movie. But at the end, do you know what he does? Let me tell you what he does. This is a little spoiler. He cuts off his own arm with a dull knife. And that takes a lot of guts. I don't know about you, but I would not have been able to do that. I'd be like, God, just take me now. Right? take me now, and let me just be in your presence. I mean, that would have been my case. But he cut off his arm. And Matt, how many nerve endings are in your arm?
How many?
83. Okay. Well, I think there's all right. Well, there are nerve endings. And do you know how much? I don't want you to think about it, right? Well, this man who conquered pain, James is telling us even he can't control what he says. He can't even tame the tongue. I think this is the same for us believers. No matter how many hardships we have gone through, no matter how many times God has brought us from the pit, no matter how many times that we have rejoiced, there's one thing that we can't control is the tongue. And that's really depressing, isn't it? Well, keep on listening because there's good news at the very end. We might say that we're Christ followers, but if we don't rely on the power of the Holy Spirit and His working, who is able to help us control the tongue, we're just like anybody in this world. Close your eyes with me for a moment. Everybody close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes because this is important. Now try to recall everything that you have said this week, either out loud or in your heart, about something or somebody. With every eyes closed, raise your hand if you have said destructive things to somebody out loud or even in your thought. This week. Okay, you can put your hands down. That was everybody in here. Now think about this morning, about singing praises to Jesus. You can open your eyes now. Sometimes it praises our Lord, our Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and curse come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. The first thing that we need to do is to recognize that we live a very nasty, contradicting life. We do. We all do. I do. How can we call ourselves Christ followers and with one breath we say, praise God, and with the other, we curse somebody. Or we say something destructive to somebody. Aren't we living that double-sided life, right? One foot in the church, other foot in the world, just kind of straddling between the fence. No wonder why the world calls us hypocrites. I don't blame him. I don't. I mean, I recognize it. We've been talking a lot about tongue, though, right? I mean, don't get me wrong. It goes further than what James is saying here about the tongue. It doesn't start in the tongue. It doesn't start with your mouth. I would be failing you if I didn't tell you the true source of why you speak that way or how we speak. I would truly be failing you. Turn to Matthew 12:33-35 with me. Matthew 12:33-35. Jesus gives us the answer, as always, as he has the answers, right? A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes. I think that was Jesus' favorite saying to all the Pharisees. How could evil men like you speak what is good and what right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Jesus gives us the answer. James is just echoing what Jesus is saying here in chapter 3. James is reminding us of what Jesus said first, that it starts from the heart. It's all about the heart. And I love Jesus in that way. If you look in Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8, he's giving the Sermon on the Mount, right? And he's giving all these Levitical laws of, that we shouldn't do. But there's one word that Jesus keeps repeating, and it's, but it's about the heart. The one phrase, but it's about the heart. It's not that, you can't eat pork. It's about the heart. It's not, that you touch another woman in a adulterous way. That's just, no, he's not saying that's the sin. It starts with the heart. And Jesus here is again talking about the heart. It's not the act of speaking that's evil, but what's inside of our hearts that's evil. It's not the act, it's not the outcome, but it's the start, the source. It's not that you can't control your tongue, but it's that your heart is in the wrong place. If our heart is in the right place, then guess what? I think we will be speaking positive words to each other. If there's garbage in your heart, then guess what is going to come out of your mouth? Garbage, and your mouth is smelling like garbage. Everybody's going to stay away from you. But if your heart is filled with jealousy, then guess what comes up? Jealousy. And everybody's going to stay away from you. I mean, nobody likes, a jealous person or coveting person. If your heart is filled with hate, your speech is going to be hate speech. As simple as that. But if your heart is filled with the gospel of Jesus Christ, then guess what comes out of your mouth? Jesus. If your heart is filled with love, then guess what comes out of your mouth? Love. If your heart is aligned with God, the fruit of the Spirit should be apparent in how you speak. If your heart is aligned with God, the fruit of the Spirit should be apparent in how you speak. Your mouth is just simply an opening for your heart. Your heart can't speak. It can't. It doesn't, it doesn't speak. But your mouth does. And whatever your heart is saying, whatever your heart is filled with, your mouth will. The fruit of the Spirit is speaking of love, is speaking of joy, speaking of peace, is speaking of patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That's the heart that we need to have, that a fruit of the Spirit will be apparent in our lives. And we need to keep obeying Christ in order to do that. It starts with obedience, everybody. It does. Are you obeying? We need to keep walking daily with the Holy Spirit. Because He's the one who is guiding you, right? Giving you the compass. Hey, it's this way. You might want to not say that. You say this to this person. Hey, go talk to this person. Hey, say something. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You won't have that guidance if you are not aligned with God. We need to keep renewing our minds, just as Romans 12:2 says, being transformed. We need to keep memorizing Scripture, because if we fill our minds and our hearts with the Scripture, guess what happens? It's in there and it'll come out. Now, I wrote that down and I want to say that to you because you need to keep me accountable as well. Because I suck at memorizing Scriptures. I do. I'm horrible at it. It's really bad. Like, I know few, and, I can turn to a Bible verse and say, oh, this is what the Bible says. But I suck at memorizing Scripture. I don't like memorizing things. But if we are trained and becoming that disciple that God has called, that Jesus has called us to be, to memorize the Scripture, to understand the gospel, and to say it to other people, and fill our hearts with it, then what if we say it's going to be positive and it's going to be full of the love of Jesus Christ? Now, so again, what is your heart filled with? Because James is not talking about the tongue. He's not. This is hardly about the tongue at all. But James is talking about your heart. Where is your heart today? Is it filled with hatred? Is it filled with anger? Is it filled with unforgiveness? Is it filled with jealousy? Is it filled with coveting? Is it filled with carelessness? Is it filled with whatever garbage it is filled with? Or is it filled with the love of God? Is it filled with the fruit of the Spirit? Is it filled with the gospel? Is it filled with Scripture? Again, that's your choice. James is giving us a choice here. If you want to grow in your spiritual maturity, guess what you're going to do? You're going to align yourself with God and have an intimate relationship with God. Before we close, I want to read this another proverb to you. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your heart. And I think I don't need to explain or expound on that, because that's pretty self-explanatory. But again, if we want to grow into maturity that Christ has called us to grow into, then we need to keep our hearts in check.
Crosspoint Alliance Church is a Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family. Our hope is that you heard from God today. You can be part of the Crosspoint family by praying for this ministry. You can write or send your donation to Crosspoint Alliance Church, P.O. Box 681552, Charlotte, North Carolina 28216. Or go to www.crosspointclt.org. Thanks again for joining us, and come back next week for another edition of the Crosspoint Podcast.